Gosh, you have my head spinning with all of these comments, you guys. Like, I hope we're inspiring other people to think outside of the box of what they're doing.
Hey, y'all. It's LJ here, owner and founder of Smart Moms Plan Disney and Smart Moms Travel. We are so glad you're here for another episode of the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. Now, here's your host, Allie.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. I'm your host, Allie, today joined by Stacy and Becky. We are going to have some fun today and outline some fun that you can have on your Disney vacation with yet another itinerary. But before we jump into today's topic, I want to, of course, thank all of our loyal listeners. Anybody that has already liked and subscribed wherever you are currently listening, we are so grateful to you, to everyone that gets the new episode dropped right into wherever they listen the moment it becomes available. It really helps us so much, and we would really love it if you haven't done that already. Just stop what you're doing right now, take a minute, subscribe, and you won't regret it. Of course, you'll get this content the second it becomes available. Also want to remind all of our listeners about our Patreon community. We are over there connecting with listeners, bouncing Disney ideas and topics for the podcast, and just really engaging with people that are listening to us, and we're now listening to them, and it's a really fun place to be. So take a minute, hit the link in the bio, join our Patreon community for not only the fun, but also for some of the perks and benefits that we're offering to those subscribers. We're doing another mailbag episode. It's coming up, and we need your feedback. It's going to be another really fun one. If you haven't already listened to our first mailbag episode, The Dopiest Mistakes You Can Make at Disney, make sure you go back and listen to that one, especially ahead of our upcoming mailbag episode. You can find the link in today's show notes to drop your must-have for your park bag at Disney. We want to know if there's something that has saved you, or maybe you forgot something and had you remembered, it would have saved you. And we're really looking forward to hearing listener feedback on that episode. It's going to be really fun. Ladies, we've been doing park itineraries, and those have been really fun. And listeners have loved them. We have our planning guides and companion guides that we have distributed to our Patreon community. And I think those were a great asset to anybody planning a Disney trip. But something else that all of us are very, very passionate about here on the podcast is that rest day while you are at Disney World.
We've heard it once. We've heard it 1,000 times. There ain't no tired like Disney tired. So let's talk about how to beat that tiredness.
You know, sometimes you're planning a really fast trip or a trip with a very specific, this is what I need to accomplish. You know, I'm going only for this one reason. But for anybody planning just a Disney World vacation, building an extra night and an extra day so that you don't have to wake up and set the alarm for Genie Plus, so that you don't have to strategize what time you're getting to transportation so that you can make it for rope drop, so that you can knock 3 rides off your list before the day gets going. Having the day where you don't have the stress, and we've talked a lot about the things that Disney offers that people don't even realize, and having at least one day to enjoy those things is honestly, to me, what's going to make a big family vacation, especially, all the more memorable.
I could not agree more. You know, I just got back from Disneyland for my very first time, and I got to experience a first timer's trip again, where you have that excitement about wanting to see everything and do everything. And I had that reminder of what it's like to have a lot of things on my checklist and not all of the energy in the world to get it all done. So I experienced even needing to take a break. On a shorter trip, I was not out there for a very long time and still had to remind myself that I could enjoy it more if I was not just pushing myself to the very, very edges of ability. So I had that reminder just within the last week that rest days and rest time is so valuable. You can get so much more done when you're not just exhausted.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you mentioned your Disneyland trip, because when I was just saying, you know, you don't want the pressure of having to set an alarm and get up and get the attractions finished, I was actually in my mind thinking about you and your trip, because obviously we followed along and we watched you rope drop and accomplish a lot of things early in the morning. And for me and for my family, obviously we love the parks and we have our things we love to do at the parks. But the night that we go to bed and I know that we are waking up on a down day is what my family calls it. That's like my favorite moment, you know, and I love going to the parks, but knowing, oh, tomorrow we don't go to a park. Tomorrow, my shins and my calves and my leg, they get a break. And we always plan some really special things. Before we dive in, we kind of discuss, what does an itinerary look like for a day like this? Because it requires so much less strategy. So rather than breaking it down in an itinerary format exactly the way we did the parks, we're going to sort of just talk about the different parts of your day and the things you can or should experience in the early hours, in the afternoon hours, and in those evening hours.
I love what Stacey was just saying about her Disneyland trip as well, because so many people who are traveling to Disney World or Disneyland for that matter, you're crossing time zones, and that's going to do something to your body. And you really need to take into account that adrenaline will get you so far, but eventually you're going to crash. And so it really comes down to the advice that quality time is so much more important than quantity of time. And the time you're going to allow your body to just be in the moment and rest and whatever it looks like of all of these fun things we're going to talk about today is so well served to let you just be present.
The old saying, as you brought up, there's no tired like Disney tired. I don't think anybody really knows what your feet and your ankles and your hips and your back might feel like. You might think, hey, I'm in good shape. I walk all the time. And there's just still something physically different about Disney World when you can have that day. Of course, we mentioned having just breaks in a single park day. That's helpful. But today, getting to talk about the importance of and encouraging people to take that one full day in the middle of your week, I think this is going to be very beneficial. And I hope that this really opens up a lot of people to the idea that maybe they need to modify their vacation before they go, because that quality over quantity will make such a huge difference in their overall memories.
How do you all choose when your rest day is going to be? Because for me, I want to kind of go a little slowly, because I think it's important to figure out when it makes sense to have the rest day. So a lot of times, if you're staying at a value or a moderate resort and you're not going to have extra extended evening hours as a deluxe guest, right? Because then you have to really figure out which day you're going to be in those parks. If you're a value or a moderate resort guest going to all four parks, then I would say it almost 100% of the time makes sense to say park, park, down day, park, park. I can see an argument for park, 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 down day, park as well, but then that third park day is going to have to be one that doesn't require as much, because I do think, you know, I'm in the parks all the time. Three in a row is my maximum. Honestly, I don't think I can do four in a row efficiently. By a third one in a row, I am tired and I'm starting to get fatigued in ways that I don't want to feel when I'm going to the parks. And so for me, as a value or moderate guest, I would say park, park, down day, park, park. And the reason I'm excluding deluxe guests is because you're kind of locked into, if you want deluxe after hours, Monday being Epcot, Wednesday being Magic Kingdom. That's the schedule at least they've been following for now for those deluxe hours. You're going to want to be in the parks on a Monday and a Wednesday. So depending on when your stretch of your trip falls, you may find yourself locked into kind of a weird down day schedule.
The four park challenge in one day, we talked about on previous episodes how exhausting that is to try to do a four park challenge. And I think what you are saying aligns very well with that as well. 4 days of back to back parks can equally be just as exhausting. So fitting in a rest day mid and thinking through the order of those parks is also a really good piece of that conversation, because Animal Kingdom, knowing it closes earlier, and how can that play into getting the most bang for your rest time?
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that. First of all, four park days in a row, honestly, when I think of that, I think brutal. That sounds brutal to me. Not to scare anybody, because I work with a lot of families that do four park days in a row, and you know, people survive it. It's fine. You still have a great time, but you have to be prepared. It can be really tough. I love that you mentioned the park hours, because I do absolutely strategize based on that. To me, Epcot is a park you can get to a little later. That's at least the park my family will go to a little later. You still have to get up early to get your virtual queue and your individual lightning lane for Guardians, which I would not skip. But it's, you know, you can get up and have your coffee and do take care of that, let the rest of the family sleep. Festival booths, they don't open until later. And so I typically like to have Epcot, you know, coming out of my rest day, or Animal Kingdom, which opens the very, very earliest. And you do usually want to get there. That can also make sense coming out of your rest day because you're well rested. So you're more likely to be able to get up early. The parks that you stay at really late, maybe you want to stack those before your rest day. So looking at park hours and understanding where your family needs sleep, and understanding which parks you have to get to really early, which parks you have to stay at very late, I think that all really, really matters when you're determining how to fit this down day in.
Exactly. I do tend to find that most of my clients are doing 4 park days. Our family often does 4 park days, but we also do 5 park days. And so I would say in that respect, I would probably go 3 and then a down day and then 2 park days. What we would actually usually put is an Epcot, a Magic Kingdom, an Animal Kingdom, a rest day, then a Hollywood, and then end in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we have done it, but it is very dependent on your family, what's important to you, and how you do it. But still want to just reiterate how important we want to go through this with you. Hopefully, if it's not necessarily that you're learning the strategies to do it and all you really learn from this is that you need to do it,
yeah.
that's really what we want you to do, because it makes me really sad hearing people who have been on a Disney vacation and they did not have a good time. Like, that is the most heartbreaking thing, to hear anybody's story after the fact. And when I'll ask questions about it, like, so tell me about your trip. What was it? Was so hard. So much of it could have been solved with a break day. Just having that down day to recuperate, to not feel so stressed out, to not feel so disappointed if you weren't able to get everything done in one day. So having that time to just spread things out a little bit, rest your feet, just it goes so far.
Yeah. So when we do a rest day, the first thing we do is just, you know, sleep in, no alarm. And I will tell you, one of the most important things we usually put on a rest day is going to be a character breakfast. That is something we typically add to our rest day. We love the character breakfast that can be found at the different resorts. And the one that we pick usually has to do, obviously, with which resort we're staying in, because on my rest day, I don't want to have to navigate a whole lot of transportation and coordination and strategy to get to my meal. Now, if you're staying somewhere that's bus only and doesn't have a character breakfast on property, you are going to have to strategize how you're going to get there. And that's fine. It isn't that complicated. You can do it. But if you're staying somewhere on the Skyliner or on the monorail, then you're going to have some options that I would recommend. When we stay in the boardwalk area or on the Skyliner route, we love to hit Topolino's on our down day. It's over at the Riviera, which is connected by the Skyliner. You can easily get to it. We love that meal. When we're staying on the monorail, we're going to try to hit Ohana or Steakhouse 71, which is not a character meal, but it is a great breakfast that we really love. And so our down day is typically a sleep in and a really good meal to start.
I think every rest day should start with, let the kids sleep in. Yeah. Let yourself sleep in. Even if you're not a sleep in person, you might be tired enough to keep the blackout curtains closed and let your body just rest later than you normally would. I agree on the character meal starting. I personally love Topolino's as well, but Cape May Cafe at the Beach Club is a really great breakfast as well. And I love any place we can go and enjoy a really good breakfast. Or they're very different food options, right? So that's another piece that's playing into it. You're going to get classic characters at both of those. And then another option on the monorail, aside from Ohana, I think Ohana is one of the best options on the monorail, but a lot of people like Chef Mickey's as well. It's not my top choice for character meals, but I think it's a good option.
If anybody hasn't listened to our ranking the character meals episode, they can just head on right over there when this episode's over to get my take on Chef Mickey's. Yeah, so a good meal is a great way to start it. Sleep and food, you're going to be ready to have a better vacation. Automatically, I'm a happier person when I've had sleep and food, and I think most listeners can probably relate to that. I will also say, depending on the time of year and the things we have planned for the day, we're going to talk about some of the options. There is an argument to be made for just choosing to mobile order breakfast from your resort. Every resort will have a mobile order breakfast option. You can get, you know, usually just food that's okay, depending on where you're staying and what the restaurant option is. You can get Mickey waffles and potatoes, typically some sort of egg dish a lot of times. I've been really pleasantly surprised with some of the offerings at different resorts, and you just kind of have to look at what's available. But, you know, if you don't want to navigate transportation early, mobile order your breakfast to make your morning easier. Just make it a point to sleep and eat in the morning for sure.
With the conversation around the transportation, I think that if you're having to get to another resort from a resort you're not staying at, listening to the transportation episodes are a really great way to go. But for my family, we aren't typically stay at deluxe resorts, and we're going to have character meals at deluxe resorts typically. So with that in mind, what my family loves to do, and we on rest days don't mind taking the time to use Disney transportation. You could take an Uber or a Lyft, but what we end up doing is, for the simplicity of it, take a bus or whatever transportation to the nearest park to the resort you're trying to get to, and then hop on a transportation or walk if you can to the resort you're trying to get to. It's an easy transportation piece, but the transportation episode would also help with that.
Yeah. And if you are somebody that likes Disney transportation and you're just there for the fun of it, which honestly is me, the buses do not bother me. I've said it on the show, on the podcast before. We think it's fun. It is really a funny thing to go to your resort bus stop. You know, if you're staying at All-Star and you need to get to any other resort that has a character meal, right? You can just go to the bus stop and wait for any bus. And you'd be like, the first bus that comes, we're going to get on that one, you know, which is a really funny idea. And then just from whatever park that is, it may end up taking longer because it has less strategy, but there are fun ways to make that something enjoyable, something different. You know, you don't go to the bus stop at Disney and just get on whatever bus, you know, and any other day because you have a plan that you have to adhere to.
I also think that just using your down day to experience transportation for the fun of it, that's one thing we like to do. I'd mentioned on that transportation episode how it was actually on arrival day, but we tried to experience every form of transportation that day. If your kids are needing something to do, but also be kind of restful, that's an adventure. You know, take the adventure, but you're not doing a lot. You're not walking a lot. You're getting to see a lot of new things. I just think that's a fun consideration for how to spend your down day.
Well, and I think, you know, Disney for us is so much about the thrilling experiences, right? We're heading into our trip and we're thinking we're going to ride Guardians, and we're going to ride my son. Again, I'll mention, you know, I'm going to ride the Yeti ride. And there are just things that we think about when we go. But down days can be equally as thrilling, honestly, like just seeing different parts of Disney World. And to me, I just have this overwhelming sensation once I'm in property and once I'm, you know, within the Disney World walls, that alone is a thrill to me. And the more of it I can see, the more resorts, the more park icons, the more transportation I can experience, the more of a thrill it really is. And when you kind of shift your focus and think, well, thrill can mean this, and it can also mean this. And for any smart moms, travel agents listening today, our hidden Mickey will be thrill, because I want listeners to really understand that this can be a day full of thrills as well, just different kinds.
In fact, I was just listening to you and it's pulling forward memories that just make my heart so happy. We weren't necessarily on a Disney World trip at this time. We were prepping for a Disney cruise, but we took a rest day before our cruise at Disney World. And so it really was a rest day. And we went and ate at the Contemporary. And then we discovered that Mickey statue that's out behind the Contemporary, and my kids wanted to just climb all over it. We have such cute pictures out there. We discovered things about resorts that we didn't know existed. We got on the monorail and went over to the Polynesian, realized we could get Dole Whip at the Polynesian for the first time. We didn't know that you could do that before we did this rest day. And then we walked over to the Grand Floridian and went into the Grand Lobby and experienced the magic that exists outside of the park. It was amazing.
Exactly. I love the way you just said that, because it's magic everywhere and people don't consider that enough. There are a lot of things, and I don't want to go without mentioning a lot of the things you can put, but the most important thing I think a rest day includes, after you've slept in, after you've had whatever that meal is, ideally, you know, one of the really good restaurant experiences that are outside of the parks, next is going to be pool time. Nothing better than pool time to my kids, and almost every listener I would bet could relate to that. My kids love our pool days. a lot of people say, well, my resort is just somewhere I'm going to sleep. Well, that shouldn't necessarily be true. You know, you want to experience your resort, and it doesn't matter which Disney resort it is. I truly believe every single one has something really amazing and special to offer. They all have awesome pools. The value resort pools are really big and larger than life. They do not have water slides. That's something really important to keep in mind, or hot tubs, because when my body is aching, that's what I want. But still, they're really fun experiences, and they have unique splash pads or colorful things, you know, big animation statues, stuff like that, all the way up to the deluxe pools, where if you're swimming at the Polynesian, you can see Magic Kingdom, and they do that castle show with Elsa every couple of hours, and you can see those fireworks throughout the day while you're swimming. And the slides get bigger, you know, at the moderate to the deluxe level, and the experiences overall just get bigger. But to a kid on a Disney trip, it really doesn't matter the pool you're swimming in. They just want to swim.
I agree. Would either of you consider a water park on a down day?
So I love that question. I would, but I wouldn't consider that a down day then. You know, my family actually has a spring break trip coming up. We're trying to decide if we want to add water parks, because my kids are finally big enough that I think it could be enjoyable for our family. I haven't taken my kids because I just haven't wanted to take them before they were strong swimmers, because that just feels like more anxiety and work for me. And so I've been really putting it off until I felt more confident. But my drawback in adding it is we'll lose our down day, and I would not consider a water park a down day, because you are walking and running now barefoot on concrete, you know, throughout another park. Even though it's a water park, it is a park. You are waiting in lines. You are kind of strategizing. It's not strategy like, you know, going to Epcot for the day, but it still does require more energy than just a relaxing day.
I completely agree. I think there's something more restful about just being in your resort and letting the kids splash around, you sitting on a lounger or joining them in a pool and just being there, compared to keeping track of everybody. It doesn't let our mom brain rest when there is so much going on at a water park. That's not to say that water parks are not worthy of a day of your vacation, because they really are super fun. But I don't know that it's truly resting if you're heading to a water park.
You know what an exception would be is if I was in a summer trip. I think I could consider replacing my down day on a summer trip, especially. 2025 packages just opened up, and we're so excited to help people plan those vacations for next year already. This is like earlier than ever. And one of the perks is you now get an included day at the water park on your arrival day. That's going to be amazing. My family will probably take advantage of that every single time, because we usually get to Disney property early and we do not do a park day that day. We usually go to the pool. Well, we'll do our pool on our down day, and we're going to take advantage of that included water park forward once we start traveling in 2025, because it's included. It's free. It doesn't cost us any extra. And it's going to be a great way for us and for the families that, you know, the three of us and the rest of the pod team and all the Smart Moms agents, the families we're helping. Now they're going to get to experience that at no additional cost. Water parks to me are taking a whole different strategy and approach as we move along, because, you know, they're not really a down day. Now they're kind of an arrival day thing.
Totally. I'd love the perk that they rolled out with this. I think it's going to make a new strategy. Like you said, we're going to have to try to get everybody in checked in a little earlier so that they can hop over to that water park and enjoy it. But I also agree, it is not a down day most of the time. One thing, particularly if you're not from the South, you may not really know how draining sunshine can be. So I love having a pool day at the resort, but that's also because I can be in the shade for a little bit. I can be in the water. The water is very relaxing to my aching bones and muscles. But the sunshine can also just really be something I need to be out of for a day. So having the resort where you can have the umbrellas and some shade trees is so important to me, versus being at a water park, you are in the sun. So I do think it's a super fun way to spend a day, but I would not consider it a down day either.
Do you all know what a zero entry pool is? Like, if I use the verbiage zero entry pool, do you know what that is?
Yes.
Yes.
Because I have some families that I work with that don't know that language. If you're planning a Disney trip and you have little ones, ask Smart Mom's travel agent if the resort you're staying at is going to have zero entry, because on a rest day, it really does make a big difference. We've stayed twice now at a resort that doesn't have zero entry. And what that means is basically a slope in. So the water starts kind of, you know, floor level and slopes in without an edge. As mom, I can sit in that zero entry area and be in the water with them and playing with them, but not fully submerged. And Disney provides life jackets complimentary at every resort. So my little ones that aren't strong swimmers yet, put those on and I can hang at the zero entry. It makes it a lot more relaxing for me. And so it's something I want to point out that not every Disney resort has that zero entry. Actually, three resorts, we say that: Boardwalk, Old Key West, and Coronado Springs. The three of those did not have that. And that all three were just a little bit more difficult of a day for my anxiety, I guess.
Fair. I think when Stacey's talking about that sun, I also think that it's important for us to talk about that we can differentiate our rest days, right? Some people want the sun and some people need to avoid the sun. If you're coming from the north and you never get that bright sun, it could be do really, really well for your mental health and your just energy overall if you do get that sunshine. Where if you're used to having the sun beat on you and you're wanting more of the shade, like Stacey was talking about, I think that being able to do something that's going to maybe be indoors or in shade will suit your situation better. And then let's say you have a family that's coming together for a family reunion and everybody is coming with different needs. Rest days is a great place to differentiate what you're going to do. For instance, my husband does not necessarily want to go sit at the pool, but he would love, love, love to go golfing while I sit at the pool with the kids and he takes Laker golfing.
Yeah, exactly. Splitting up on a down day. You know, when you're in the parks, sometimes if you have a cross-generation trip, you are splitting up in the parks, right? Because not everybody rides the same things. Down day is the peak moment that everyone can just make a core memory for themselves. You know, there are so many unique things. I want to sit at the pool. Sean, your husband, he wants to go golfing. And so it's important that people realize, yeah, there are some like incredible golf courses at Disney World. And if you have a golfer in your family, now's the day that they get to break off from the group. Maybe while you are all sleeping in and doing that character meal, they golf in the morning. And it's, you know, there's the ranch, the Tri-Circle D Ranch, horseback riding. Not enough people go. Have you guys ever been?
I've never done the horseback riding, but I have seen that it's there and my kids always want to go try it. So I think we need to prioritize it. Even like fishing is one of those things that I think I would like to go do with my kids at Disney.
Exactly. So I think, you know, you sleep in, you have your character meal, you plan at least 3 hours at the pool, right? Like a minimum, that's how much my kids are going to want to spend there. And then I start thinking through some of the other unique things. Those are going to include maybe the ranch, horseback riding, which you can book in advance. You can ask your travel agent when you're booking experiences day. I've done it for families before. When your booking day comes up, you can book horseback riding times. There are age limits and things like that to be mindful of. Maybe you want to do mini golf included in most packages. You get to go mini golfing. It's so fun. Have you all ever done the mini golf courses at Disney World?
I've done all three of them. I say three of them. There's actually four of them, two of them, but they're split into multiple courses. And we love mini golfing. It's an activity that can meet everybody's needs. And it's not high demand. You're not walking 18 holes. It's definitely something that is restful and fun. I particularly love the one at Blizzard Beach that is winter themed. And so you're like golfing with Santa, but Santa's in a swimsuit. It's adorable.
There is one, the boardwalk area. I've done the mini golf courses when I was little with my family, and my brother and I were very competitive, and mini golfing for my family didn't always go really great. It didn't always go really well because, you know, somebody had to lose. So we have funny memories just about not being great sports, even at Disney World, trying to putt-putt. But my kids are a little bit better sports than I was. And we're staying at Beach Club over spring break. And it's high on my priority list to take them to those mini golf courses because my wife and my kids have never been. I'm the only one in our family that has done them. And they are super fun. I think our plan is sleep in, Cape May breakfast, Storm Long Bay for a while, and then hit up the mini golf course and enjoy that.
I'm really glad you asked this because no, we have not. That does not sound fun to me. So I'm glad we're kind of bringing this in on the discussion of how we need to figure out what is the most restful thing for each individual person in the party. Because the idea of competition and just being out playing mini golf on a down day does not sound relaxing to me. Another thing that a lot of people like to do on a down day that does not sound relaxing to me is shopping. Shopping is entirely too involved for my interests. I know that is a huge way for a lot of people to spend their time, and they get actually really re-energized with their shopping. But I just think this goes to the point of how personal it is to you, you know, and how we're calling this an itinerary episode, but really we just want to give you the tools and the information to know what's out there and available so that you can choose what is best for you and your family.
Absolutely. Shopping does not do it for me either, but it does it for my wife. She wants to do all the shopping. I prefer shopping in the parks. I like all of the really unique places in the park. So I like to do it there. I'm not like a go to Disney Springs and shop person. I'm a go to Disney Springs and eat person, but I agree. And so there are these little things I want you, listeners to think: mini golf, horseback riding, 18 hole regular golfing, fishing, like you mentioned, Becky, resort hopping, riding the monorail. If it's the holidays, go look at the gingerbread house at the Grand Floridian. Go look at the Christmas trees all along the monorail resorts. If it's Easter time, go look at the Easter eggs at the monorail resorts. Oh my goodness. They are absolute works of art. So I kind of think you want to think, what can I put here that makes sense for me? And some of those really unique ideas that we've talked about are going to be good options. Before we continue the conversation and pivot, we're going to take a quick break, and then we are going to dive a little bit more into concluding your rest day.
Are you a dedicated fan of the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast and feel the need to take notes while listening to each and every episode? Our Diamond Mind Patreon subscription is a perfect fit for you. Every month, our Diamond Mind subscribers receive a new Disney travel guide that simplifies and organizes the podcast content. Join our community at patreon.com and search for Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. Joining our Patreon supports our woman-owned small businesses and allows you more simplicity and support in planning your next Disney vacation. Join us at patreon.com and we'll see you there.
All right. So we've talked about different ways to stack your rest day. It includes sleeping, it includes eating, and it includes exploring. Have we missed anything that you would do in your morning hours or a different way you might arrange it?
Something we've done during one of our rest days is playing foot golf, which is a very interesting activity. We'd never done it. We're not a soccer family, but you are essentially playing soccer on a golf course. And we'd never done it before, but our family really, really enjoyed it. My caveat on this is, if it's summer, think about how hot it's going to get and how quickly the rain can come in for a quick shower when you're putting yourself out into something like that.
Yeah, definitely. The weather is going to make a big impact on the events that you schedule for your day, for sure.
How lucky is it when your rain comes in on your down day? That is just such a lucky thing. We've had that happen before where it really kept us inside, but it was exactly what we needed.
Yeah. A lot of people may think, lucky, like, I can't swim. I lost my pool day. And I can see where that would be really upsetting, but also take that as a sign to stay inside, go do that monorail ride and explore the indoor resorts. There's a lot to do inside those resorts. There just really is, you know, just seeing and exploring and having snacks. And one thing we do that I believe I've talked about before is monorail crawls. And I want to use this to transition into the evening discussion on your down day, because I think it can look a couple of ways. One is, we always have a good dinner reservation. So we're going to be looking at a couple of options for that. We either, my family, and I'm excited to hear what you all do, we either have a reservation in the Magic Kingdom area along the monorail so that we can watch the Magic Kingdom fireworks from a vantage point outside the park. And there are a couple of those along the monorail line. And there are really good restaurants. Again, I'm going to point out Steakhouse 71. Also, Storybook Dining with Snow White is not along the monorail, but it is in that area and easy to get to. It's our favorite character meal. Ohana is a popular one. So there are a lot of restaurants to eat along that, catch the fireworks, and then we'll do that Skyliner crawl. So for the adults, we'll maybe have a drink at each of the bars, which is really fun. They're unique spaces with unique drinks. And for the kids, we let them do dessert crawls. So we'll grab them a dessert at each resort and everybody's having a good time.
That sounds ideal. Gosh, I want to just be there right now.
And our second one is Disney Springs. So after our pool, we obviously, everybody knows I love the Boathouse. This is typically the night we'll head there. If we didn't do it on arrival night, we hit World of Disney, Gideon's Cookies, and kind of hang out in that area. But if I'm being really honest, I do prefer to do that scene on our arrival day just to sort of gear us up for the Disney trip, and then the monorail area for dinner on our rest day.
My favorite restaurant for a rest day in particular is Trattoria El Forno. It's my favorite Disney restaurant inside or outside of the park. I love it. The lasagna, the chicken parm, like if that sounds up your alley, we need to talk. Like it's, it is my favorite. And my favorite nighttime vibe is actually right there at the boardwalk. I love being at the boardwalk when the sun's going down, golden hour, the lights are turning on, the music's turning on. It's perfect for me.
Yeah, it's the best.
And there's so many places around Disney World that you can still experience fireworks and kind of have some of that nighttime spectacular from a distance. That really does add to the ambiance. So there are places on the boardwalk where you can see the fireworks from Epcot. There are restaurants you can go to where you can see out even Ohana, as you mentioned, for breakfast. If you go at dinner, you can try to ask for a window seat where you can watch the fireworks from the window. So just knowing these little things to just add a little special touch that makes it obvious that you're still in Disney World and you're not back at home at some, somewhere. You're still experiencing the magic.
I think that's why I like Disney Springs on my arrival day, is because once I'm immersed, I don't like to ever feel like I've left. And Disney Springs, to me, sometimes feels like you've left. You know what I mean? Because it does have a bit of a mall vibe. Still very Disney. The World of Disney is an awesome place. But I agree. I like to still be immersed in the magic. And the boardwalk area, the monorail loop, or like Topolino's for dinner and then going out on the terrace and you could see multiple fireworks. Like that's my down day that I like to end with. And I don't necessarily love to stay out late because it was our day to kind of recoup, but typically we end up being out kind of late, just exploring and experiencing and enjoying, honestly.
And how about your resort choice before you even get on your vacation being a consideration for all of this? You know, there are few of the deluxes, I know deluxe is not for everyone and every vacation, but when you're able to do it there, when we stayed at the Polynesian, which I know that's one of your top ones as well, Allie, but being able to sit on the beach and watch the fireworks from the beach, and then you walk for 5 minutes and you're back in your bed. Like there is nothing quite like that. I love that very, very much. So considering your resort for the purpose of your down day, you may not even need to leave your resort at all.
Yeah, we strategize our down days around where we're staying all the time. And I want to also throw out, most resorts are going to offer some sort of nighttime fun. So movies either at the pool or on the lawn or wherever each specific resort, they're usually going to show a Disney movie. My kids love that. Who doesn't love that, right? Like, it's amazing. A lot of the resorts will offer bonfires and s'mores. Who doesn't love that? The campground has one with Chip and Dale. You know, your resort is probably going to be doing something fun at night. And it's usually something you're going to be missing because you are in the parks. But just the fact that the resorts do offer this shows that Disney thinks a down day is smart. You know, there are people that are back at the resort at reasonable hours, not in the parks on any given night. And I think you want to make sure you see what your resort has going on, because it's not necessarily something you can plan for ahead of arrival. But once you're there, you think, okay, the s'mores are happening out here on the lawn at 7 o'clock. And we really want to make sure we're here to experience that with other people. My kids make friends with tons of other kids that are on vacation at the same time as us. And they're doing cartwheels together. It's great. It's a time of connection in Disney community.
I agree. Gosh, you have my head spinning with all of these comments, you guys. Like, I hope we're inspiring other people to think outside of the box of what they're doing. Allie, I didn't realize what it is that I don't love about spending a rest day at Disney Springs. And I think it's because of that. It feels somewhat like a mall, right? It has a Rainforest Cafe, and I have a Rainforest Cafe at the mall, like 2 miles from my house. So that doesn't feel like an escape to me. That feels like stress from the mall.
Exactly.
And so I love that.
But the split up that we talked about, like I'll hang at the pool and Zan, my wife, she leaves the resort and goes to Disney Springs sometimes on the down day, just because she really loves to shop. Like mm-hmm. the way Stacey was explaining it, it's how she decompresses, and she needs to stop loving to shop, you know, especially when we're on a Disney trip, like we don't need to be spending any more money and she needs to not love shopping so much. But she does. And so she has on multiple trips gone off by herself and hit Disney Springs when I haven't wanted to. And that's been fine. It's really fun. And it makes a lot of sense. So allowing yourself to know that doing the couple of things that day that makes sense for you and for everyone. It's just going to give your entire group, your family, your friends, whomever you are with, the opportunity to really create a memory that you didn't expect. You know, down days are about creating unexpected memories. I think I just want to drive home, it's very important to strategize based on where you're staying. The trip we stayed at Old Key West, kind of gets a bad rep. I think it's a really under the radar resort. It's very big, so it's hard to manage sometimes if you don't have a good location. But we had the best time when we stayed there. Our down day was so relaxing. We had breakfast at Olivia's Cafe. It's one of the best breakfasts on Disney property. And it's not one I would necessarily go out of my way to go to, you know, if I wasn't staying there. But because we were staying there, it's where we ate. So knowing where you are, your proximity, the restaurants that are around you, you know, we have an upcoming trip. Some of the girls that we all work with, we're staying together at Animal Kingdom Lodge. So we're hitting Boma for breakfast and Sanaa one night for dinner. Amazing restaurants. Boma is one of the best breakfasts on all of Disney property for sure, if not the best. Would I necessarily find my way there on a down day if I wasn't staying there? Probably not. You know, it's kind of far and out of the way. But if you are staying there, it's important. So just knowing where you are and what you're near and not just hitting the headliner classics that everybody knows about is also a really fun way to strategize.
Love it.
Well, I think we've done a good job just sort of outlining the reason why this is necessary and some of the things you're going to see, do, and experience and prioritize for your family. We are going to take one final break. And when we come back, we are going to play a lightning lane.
Hey there, friends. I'm Katie Boone, one of your podcast co-hosts. I'd love to invite you to join my Facebook Disney planning community called Planning Disney with Babies, Toddlers, and Preschoolers. In my group, I love discussing all the aspects of planning your magical vacation with little ones. Find my community at facebook.com/groups/PlanDisneyWithLittleOnes. Again, that's facebook.com/groups/PlanDisneyWithLittleOnes. When you join, don't forget to tell me you heard about my group on the podcast. See you there.
Hey, wait. I know you're ready to get back to the podcast, but I've got something very simple for you to do. Join my Facebook group, Disney Planning Made Simple. I'm Stacy, one of your podcast hosts, and I have a sweet, friendly Facebook group made for those of us who thrive in the simple pleasures of life. Things like family, food, and Disney. Join at facebook.com/groups/DisneyMadeSimple or follow with the link in the show notes. We'll be so happy to see you there.
All right, we are back and ready to play the lightning lane. This is a fun game we play sometimes here on the pod, and I'm excited to get y'all's take after the discussion of today. Are you both ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. Stacy, would you rather on a down day go golfing or fishing?
Oh, those are my only two choices, huh?
She said neither.
You have to pick.
Okay, I'm going to pick fishing.
Becky, same question.
I would choose golfing. I really love golfing.
Me too. I'd pick golfing, but mini golfing.
I would not pick mini golfing. I would pick like full on, have a cart, do the thing.
Really?
Yes. I love golf clubs, the whole thing.
Yeah, I would not pick that. Okay. Would you rather rent a boat, which you can do, or rent a Surrey bike? A bike to ride, which you also can do.
I want to rent a boat. In fact, when Stacy was talking about watching fireworks from the boardwalk area, I want to rent a boat and do that firework cruise thing that takes you in to watch the Epcot fireworks. Like that sounds amazing to me.
Yeah, we didn't mention that. You could do a fireworks cruise on your down day and you can watch the fireworks from a boat, Magic Kingdom or Epcot, I believe. I think you can do both parks. And it's honestly not that expensive for what it is. That's an important thing to keep in mind for a rest day, for sure. It's on my list.
Yep, I have to agree with you. I would go with a boat as well. I think that sounds super fun.
All right, dinner at the Boardwalk or Disney Springs?
Boardwalk for me. That's a no-brainer.
I'm going Boardwalk as well.
Boardwalk also, hands down Boardwalk. But I love Disney Springs on arrival day. I can't go without saying that. Boardwalk on the down day, Disney Springs on arrival day. Mm. Okay. Ooh, this is a fun one. Monorail crawl or Skyliner crawl?
I think I would go monorail.
If I was with adults and doing a bar crawl, I would choose the monorail crawl. If I was with kids and doing a dessert crawl, I would choose the Skyliner crawl.
I'm doing monorail crawl either way, for sure. Because it goes to all deluxe resorts, and who doesn't want to see and be inside those? Okay. Watch the fireworks outside the park from the beach at the Polynesian or from the grounds at the Contemporary?
Polynesian for me. In fact, there's a little known hill. Allie, you stay at the Poly regularly. Do you ever go up on that hill that's kind of raised above the bungalows and watch the fireworks?
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. We're either on our balcony because we did a theme park view, or we are on the beach.
I love that they pipe the music into both of the resorts.
Yeah.
Getting to watch across the water is amazing. What about you, Stacey?
I'm going to go with Polly as well. It's just a really special experience. I love that.
Yeah. It's almost like you're seeing the show for real because you have a focused view. Polly's directly across the water. You can still see Tinkerbell. You know, like you can see a full front view of the show, hear the music. It's so awesome. Okay. Activity on or off Disney property? A lot of people will leave Disney property on their down day. Would you ever consider that?
I would not. I think I'm paying to be in the magic, and going to Disney feels like I'm truly checking out of the world. And as soon as you step off of Disney property, you're hitting traffic. And I just don't want to see that on vacation.
Could not agree more. I want to stay in that bubble.
Yeah, I'm not leaving the bubble for sure. Okay. Resort pool or water park?
Resort pool.
Yeah. On a rest day, resort pool.
Hands down. No question. At the Poly or the beach club, ideally. Or my favorite moderate. Actually, all the moderates have great pools. I would say every moderate pool is awesome. They all have really good themes, really great slides. I like them all. My family has had fun at every single one of them. Okay. Would you rather do movie on the lawn, like we talked about, or go to the movie theater at Disney Springs?
I would be up for a Disney Springs theater. We do particularly enjoy movie theater visits. We love to go to the movie theater. So that's not too crazy of an idea for me. And I will say the movie on the lawn is a little rambunctious. There's lots of kids running around. So it's fun if you have kids. It is a good experience for them. But I'm okay with let's take a little break and go to a theater.
I actually love going to the movie theater. We are theater junkies. We go to most movies on opening night. And so if there's ever, especially if there's like a Disney movie premiering when we're there, we totally are going to go to the movie theater and watch it. However, we also are totally the family that goes and grabs a towel and sits on the lawn and watches a Disney movie too. We can happily do both.
We're movie on the lawn on vacation for sure. Even though my kids love the theater, we can do that at home. Something we didn't mention, Disney has a Cirque du Soleil show called Drawn to Life, all inspired about animation and drawing and art. And it's at Disney Springs. And I haven't seen it yet, but I've seen enough of it to know that it's unbelievable because it's Cirque and it's Disney and it's now combined. And so you can't get a better combination than that. Would you rather go see that show or would you rather splurge on a special dinner at California Grill over in the Contemporary with a view of Magic Kingdom at night?
Easy for me. I would say Drawn to Life, Cirque du Soleil. I would love to see that. It's still something I plan to do. No question. I would rather spend that big bucks on a show than at the dinner.
I agree. That's on my high bucket list to do on the next splurges we're doing at Disney. There's actually three splurges we're doing. Cirque is one of them. I want to do Sangria University at Coronado Springs. And I want to do firework cruise on a boat at either Magic Kingdom or Epcot. Either of them would be amazing.
Okay, but here's the thing. How many down days have we combined had since Drawn to Life has been open and how many of us have seen it? So even though we all want to see it, I think our answer is really dinner because none of us have actually done it. I've had dinner around the monorail every time. I have not seen Cirque, although it is high on my list as well. I guess my answer has to be the dinner, but I do want to see Drawn to Life. And I do think it's not a waste of money or time. Okay, last one. How many rest days in a 7-day vacation?
I would say, for me, at least one, possibly two.
Stace?
Yeah, I think it would really be mostly dependent on what other types of things are going on that week as far as maybe there's some, you know, we didn't really talk about if there's a special event like a Halloween party or a Christmas party. I might combine a little bit of a down day and call it a down day, even though I'm going to go to a party at night. So I might be able to strategize and say I'm having two down days if I throw in some sort of little side idea like that.
Yeah, a party on a down day does make sense. We have done that for sure. I'm actually going to say three because I'm going to call arrival and departure day down days. Fly in as early as you can. Start to use those resort amenities as soon as you can, which is right away, and then hit up one of those dinner areas that we discussed today. On your departure day, leave late so you can also explore and enjoy your resort pool and hang out. And then, of course, that midday break. So I'm actually going to call it three, with the one in the middle being the sun up to sundown one. But arrival and departure, you can't count those days out. They are part of your vacation. Get in early, leave late, and maximize your time for sure. Well, that was fun. And now I want to go have a rest day at Disney. And I do have one coming up this month. I'm so excited. And we already have a lot of what we talked about today planned to do that day. I can't wait to do it now with my kiddos. That's going to do it for us today. I want to remind listeners Once more, if at the top of the episode you did not stop what you were doing and subscribe to this podcast, please do it now. Make sure that next week when a new episode drops, you get it straight where you are listening the moment that it drops. You don't want to miss out on any of the fun, entertaining, and informative content that we are going to bring to you. So be sure to do that. And we're in the home stretch for submissions for the mailbag episode coming up. So take a moment. Make sure you get yours in. We want to hear from you. We want to share your thoughts on air. And we're looking forward to reading some of those. Hopefully, we have some funny stories going along with things that you may have forgotten in your park bag. If you did subscribe wherever you're listening, or you've joined our Patreon community, we would really appreciate if you could just leave us a 5-star review and a comment. Recently, a listener, Dara JTTT, wrote, "Podcasts plus Disney, my two favorite things. I love listening to podcasts in the car, and now I can drive and get my smart mom's Disney knowledge at the same time. Relatable, so knowledgeable, and so helpful. Can't wait for my next trip." We can't wait for our next trip either, and we are really hopeful that everyone is having as much fun getting their information from us as Dara is. If you enjoyed today's episode, you may also enjoy the sleepiest episode of them all, the 7 must-stay resorts. Give that one a listen and think about how those resorts could really incorporate into your next down day. You may want to stay at one you didn't consider before, or your first Disney ride isn't what you think. Let's Talk Disney Transportation, another awesome episode that will help you strategize and coordinate your down day. You got to understand those Disney transportation systems. They can be overwhelming, they can be confusing, but understanding the routes can save your vacation. That's going to do it for us this time on the Smart Moms Playing Disney podcast. And until next time, we'll see you real soon.